Federal workforce issues could face challenges as a result of yesterday's elections. Republicans, beginning in January, will regain a majority in the Senate while adding 14 seats to their lead in the House. What will all this mean to federal employees and agencies? Dan Blair is president and CEO of the National Academy of Public Administration. He joins me now with some analysis. Dan, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
All right. So what's your take? Let's talk about basic pay and benefits for current employees. Do you think the new majorities are really going to want to spend any time on that?
Well, I think there are more questions than we have answers for at this point. But I think one of the first things we're going to need to look at is to see how the appropriation cycles for this year wind themselves down. And I think that might give us a clue to or an indication of the cooperative nature of the next Congress. I think that the answers regarding pay and benefits will first be seen in the GOP budgets that come out of the House and Senate, and also come out of the administration and see how they work together or they don't work together in trying to fund new initiatives and also trying to address key components of the federal workforce. And I also think that as far as pay and benefits will be concerned, I think we can look to the oversight efforts of both the committees, the House Oversight Committee and the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee, to see if the hearings that they start early in the Congress are going to be about the pay and benefit structure. So I think those will give us clues as to what will happen throughout the next 2 years.
And I guess the biggest change is probably going to be in the Senate, where there is a reversal of party, whereas there might be some leadership changes, but no real general change in direction on the House side.
Well, I think the change in the Senate, he'll still need 60 votes to get through controversial legislation, but having the chairmanship in hand will give the Republicans an opportunity to set the agenda. And that's why I think it'll be important to watch what kind of hearings are on first order for the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee, what kind of hearings come out of the Appropriations Committee with the Financial Services Subcommittees, and what will they be looking at. So I think that will give us a clue as to what the feds will be facing for the next 2 years.
And what do you think could possibly happen, if anything, about the health care law that was passed back in 2010, I guess it was, the Affordable Care Act? There is such an apparatus now in place. Do you expect anything to change there? The Republicans try to repeal that in some way? I mean, it seems like they don't have a veto-proof majority anyhow.
Well, you don't have a veto-proof majority. And a lot of Republicans may have campaigned on repeal and replace, but actually getting that done and getting that through the Senate will be one obstacle, and then getting it to the president's desk will be a second obstacle. So while there will certainly be those political agendas out there, I think it will be important to see what will be first up when Congress comes into town, not after the lame duck, but with the new Congress. What will be first on their agendas? They're going to have to appeal to their voters who elected them into office, so they're going to have to do something. But again, these voters elected these new officials not because they wanted to see continued gridlock, but they wanted to see something done. Poll after poll after poll after poll indicated the American public's displeasure with this dysfunction in Washington. And so I think it would behoove the Republicans and it'll behoove the administration to try to find some common ground to move forward.
Because of, just to take one example that has not changed because of a lack of ability to even talk about the issue is, say, entitlement reform, which affects, I mean, it could affect the operations of several agencies, HHS and Health and Social Security. But the president said before he would consider any change in entitlement under Social Security, he wanted $1 trillion in new tax revenues over a certain period of time. So that's where everything kind of ended. Do you see that possibly changing?
Well, it's too early to predict something like that. That is a big lift. And I would look to see what can be done on, you know, with a smaller lift. For instance, last night they were talking, there was much talk about maybe some common ground with corporate tax reform, maybe funding some infrastructure projects, maybe in preschool funding. So they're going to need to find that core area where they can work. And if they can get that momentum of where they work, maybe they can tackle those more vexing problems that have to be tackled over the next few years.
Because Mitch McConnell will inherit a Senate, presuming he becomes the majority leader, that's very different from the way it was before Harry Reid became the majority leader. There have been some rule changes with respect to appointees and judges and so forth. And frankly, you know, the majority leader has not brought to even a vote some important pieces of legislation if he felt it could be politically embarrassing.
That was always the complaint of Speaker Boehner, that the House would pass this legislation and it would die in the Senate. But the 60 vote requirement for much of the legislation is still there. On the nomination side, I think you may see a little bit of a break in the logjam because the Republicans control the committees where the nominations first come. So if the nominee is controversial, they won't even make it out of the committee. You won't have the case of where you have a nominee. It will be rare to have the case of where you have a nominee make it out of committee and not make it in, and then just sit on the Senate floor, because the process would have stopped them earlier rather than later. But again, this is an area that caused so much ill will in the Senate with that rules change. And we'll see what will happen with that with the new Senate.
We're speaking with Dan Blair. He's president and CEO of the National Academy of Public Administration. And getting back to some of the bread and butter things for our audience, pay and benefits for federal employees, one thing that the Republicans were able to get established and nibble at is maybe a new tier of federal employment for people that are hired after a certain date. So, for example, they now will be paying more of their paychecks toward their own retirement system versus what people pay that are already in the federal government. Do you anticipate there could be more movement toward a whole new tier, just as if when we went from SERS to FERS, something could change in the pact for new federal employees altogether?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, and I think that it has to be considered in the context of recruitment and retention and the ability of the federal government to bring on the best people to do the jobs that the taxpayers expect them to do. You had that nibbling away. I don't see that being reversed in this Congress, and it is a question of whether or not they will take it to a much higher degree. You still have federal employee stalwarts in the Congress. You still have Steny Hoyer, Chris Van Hollen. It'll be interesting to see how Barbara Comstock works into this group. I think she's the only Republican in the Washington D.C. area at this point. And how will she react to the concerns of her new constituency? She certainly has she's indicated that she will be there, and she values the federal employees. And we'll see what kind of voice she has in this new Congress.
It's unlikely that the very, very close race, at least the way it looks right now, is going to change between Mark Warner and his opponent, Ed Gillespie. But Warner has been a pretty good proponent of federal employee just making their lives easier, like reducing the number of reports that agencies have to do, lots of nuts and bolts things. So it seems like as you mentioned, the delegation surrounding Washington from Virginia and Maryland will probably continue with pretty much the same agenda they've had all along.
I suspect you're correct. What I do think is that there's going to have to be a broadening of that coalition. And you just back in the day, you used to have Republicans who were part of that coalition too, who did not represent feds in this area, but were spread out across the country. You had federal employee protectors such as Congressman Ben Gilman from New York, Frank Horton, even John McHugh, who's a Navy secretary, all had large federal constituencies in their districts and worked hard to protect and enhance federal pay and benefits. I don't see that on the Republican side anymore. And what I thought was interesting was a review of the political contributions on the part of the public sector unions in this cycle. And based upon information from OpenSecrets.org, in the House, the top 20 recipients of contributions were all Democrats. And in the Senate, out of 20, only two Republicans made it. It was Thad Cochran and Susan Collins, and they were 19 and 20, respectively. Now, if you're going to give money to people who support your cause, But you also have to think about, if you put all your eggs in one basket, what happens? And so I think this is going to be an interesting topic to watch. And again, I think some of the first clues we're going to get will be from the budget cycle, what will be contained in the president's budget. I mean, this administration has not shown itself to be a strong protector of the pay and benefits. And so we'll have to take a clue from the administration. We'll have to take a clue from what the House and Senate does on the budget. And I think that that will be the agenda.
And looking at the general issue of public administration, is there anything in particular you're hoping for from this new Congress?
I think it will be interesting to see what happens with a management agenda. Republicans always viewed as being much more management oriented. Will there be, and the administration has indicated that it wants to ramp up its management agenda as well. Beth Cobert has been talking to a number of folks, and I think it'll be interesting to see if there could be some common ground on what might be a new management agenda. I also think another thing that'll be interesting to watch will be the oversight agendas in both houses, and to see where that for that runs its course. In terms of oversight of the federal agencies. You've had the House in Republican hands since 2010, and we've seen what kind of oversight agenda that they have put forth. But will the Senate do the same thing? Will the Senate establish its own? The Senate has always historically been a little bit more bipartisan, and the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee has generally been a little bit more bipartisan itself. That looks like that will be chaired by Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, and he's a rather unknown factor when it comes to these types of issues. So there's a lot of play and a lot of questions, and I think that just time will answer those.
And before we let you go, we want to remind people you've got a big conference coming up next week.
We do, and I couldn't be more excited. We are very pleased to report that we will be having as keynote speakers Beth Cobert, Dan Tangalarini, OPM Director Catherine Archuleta will be giving the keynote talk at lunch, and I'm very interested to hear from her. She has some exciting things going on at OPM. And then we'll also be hearing from IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. Plus, we'll have a number of breakout sessions with a number of notables, and this is really the nation's premier public administration conference. And I couldn't be more pleased that Federal News Radio will be covering it live.
We sure will. And our own program director, Lisa Wolf, is going to be on one of the panels discussing how to, you know, get your story out through the media if you are a government administrator.
Well, that will be an exciting panel. I'm actually heading up my own panel talking about the future of the federal civil service and what it might look like in 2025. So there's a lot on the agenda. There are a lot of issues for the feds to listen to. And so we have opened up the conference. If interested parties want to register, I would strongly encourage them to do so. We have limited tickets, but to register, go to the National Academy of Public Administration website, and that's www.napawash.org, and there are directions on how to register.
All right. Dan Blair is president and CEO of the National Academy of Public Administration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks to your listeners.